The Meaning of Geranium from The Secret Language of Plants by Andrina, read by Sam Gabriel, based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 19 Pro Defunctis. Ernie had been wrong. Of course, this was nothing new. Philip's absence was noted soon enough, and when he didn't show up for lunch, people asked after him. But even though Ernie had been convinced that no one would notice or care if he weren't there, the truth is that he remained a student, and so by his second missed class, Professor Babbling sent word to Professor Sprout to look after him. Everybody liked Philip better, but Ernie's absence was noticed first. When they realized that both were missing, people began to feel concerned. Not worried, not yet, because Hogwarts was safe. Nothing bad should be able to come from the outside, so at most they feared some freak accident caused by the multiple dangerous things they had on the inside. That would be bad, but not terribly bad. Ghosts were dispatched to search for them, and people and portraits were interrogated. Sirius offered to turn into his dog form and sniff some clothes, Phillips, as he was not getting anywhere near that traitorous, duplicitous rat. There was no evidence that Sirius's sense of smell was good enough to follow a trace, but it was a lot better than that of a human, that was for sure. Remus, too, was made to sniff around, even though he swore that he was not any good at following traces, merely at getting an idea of where someone had been. Both Sirius and Severus had their doubts. Remus had an unerring ability to wander in whenever someone had just opened a package of cookies. If that wasn't catching and following a scent, they didn't know what it was. The ghosts started to return without a hint of where Philip and Ernie were. The faun whose painting hung near the main stairs was finally located in the room behind the great hall, drinking the wine from a still life, and said that he thought he had seen them go outside, though it might have been the day before. There was quite a lot of outside to look around. Even though it was cold now, there was always someone outside flying, trying new spells, checking the greenhouses or the carriage house. In fact, Philip was usually one of those that stayed outside. He didn't mind the cold, and someone had to take note of the storage. Hagrid invited him inside for a cup of tea almost daily. But not today. Hagrid had been busy caring for the salamanders, and he hadn't seen him. When told about it, he brought Fang to sniff at the clothes, and the hound instantly pointed at the Forbidden Forest. This was worrying. They had been working on securing that area. Giant spiders, Hagrid, you have secret giant spiders there. And even though the talks with the centaurs were going well, all thanks to Luna, who was so weird and confusing to them that they were always willing to listen just to get a closer look, there remained many creatures that could pose a threat. It was also a bit windy, so the parchment with carefully annotated numbers that Philip had dropped was already far away by the Quidditch field. They didn't see it as they went by the spot where Romasanta had been hiding, following the trace Fang had picked. The dog went first, with Hagrid not far behind. Then it transformed Sirius, who kept running between all of them and who turned back into a human quickly to tell them that, over what he thought might be Philip's scent, there was an acrid stench of metal and rotten soil. Remus, who was in the rear with Severus, said that he smelled it too. Something like wet metal and fungus. Minerva stayed behind, not without negotiation over who got to go and who had to stay and make sure the castle didn't panic or spontaneously collapse. Ron was happy to stay because he had already seen more than he would like of the forest.
When was this exactly, Weasley?
So long ago that there's no point in thinking up a punishment, Professor McGonagall.
It didn't take long. They were going with Hogwarts's groundkeeper, and they all knew how to look at the sun and the stars that were starting to come. Nights came so early in December. So in just a bit over 2 hours, they found themselves by the south border of the forest. There were fewer trees there, but that only meant that the brambles could grow almost as high. It was quiet there. Eerily so. Hagrid said most creatures and animals stayed well away from the border. The border was dangerous, it meant leaving a good cover, so if they were going to risk coming near the tree line, they would do it on the side closest to the castle, since in that case there was always the possibility of stealing a sandwich from a student. Had happened to James Potter at least twice. They didn't see anything. Nothing to indicate why Fang had brought them there. Severus put his hand in the air, feeling for the invisible charms that hung around the line. They were all there, buzzing in the air and feeling a bit like the force of a magnet.
If the spells were there, then Philip and Ernie ought to be there or somewhere between this point and the castle, making their way back. In the background, they could hear Fang panting excitedly. He barked, short, loud.
"There's something here,"
called Hagrid as he kneeled on the ground. The lantern he had been carrying had lost its flame a while ago, and for some reason Lumos was never enough in the forest. It lit the face and hands of the caster and little else. It was better not to cast it at all and keep one's night vision. In the moment, however, they could only see the dark mass of Hagrid a few steps before them, looking like one of those overgrown brambles that covered the place. They heard as Hagrid fumbled with the flint and finally got the light back.
"Oh. Oh, God."
It was so cold. It was also very dark, but Remus was more bothered by the cold. No one likes fighting in the cold, running around freezing your feet and hands, and later feeling the sweat you had built up slowly chill over your skin. He remembered that the last war had also felt very cold. The following years, too, until Severus knocked on his door with a toddler in his arms, and Remus moved to a new home. It had been warm in there.
"This is good,"
said Luna with that dreamy voice and hard-boiled optimism. It looked very silly, but Remus had discovered through Severus that her optimism wasn't born from ignorance or denial, but from a core of determination. She had been happy before her mother's death, and then she had been very sad. Luna, with that crushing logic of some Ravenclaws, had decided that she did not like being sad, and she preferred to be happy, so that's what she was. Sometimes it was easy to see why she had befriended Harry. They both had a taste for happiness.
"Is it?" asked Sirius,
looking at the sad little figure on the ground and then at the sky as if he were expecting to see broomsticks up there already, or storm clouds at the very least. There wasn't a very good view of the sky in Azkaban, but it was the only view they got, and Sirius liked looking up in moments of distress. The forest wasn't as dense here, so it was easier to get a look at the sky, dark blue going black.
"Lovegood, I told you not to come," Severus said over his shoulder, his attention focused on the seemingly intact wards.
"But only once."
She had a very good point. Luna's hair seemed to be moving by itself, and she was also patting the air. Remus was very surprised to find that he could not see the thestrals that must have been populating the place. Later, in a quiet moment stolen from the approaching darkness as they lay in bed, Severus would tell them that of course he couldn't see the thestrals. Remus was less a killer than a savior and protector, and he was obviously a good protector if he hadn't seen anyone die. That was a nice velvety thought. 16 years ago he would have thought that it was yet another mark of failure. A sign that he hadn't been involved enough and he hadn't fought hard enough. So he wasn't acquainted with death, the mark of a coward. It took a Slytherin to show that it could also be proof of success.
"Was this good?" Sirius asked in a loud whisper.
He was very confused by Luna, but he liked how she followed Severus around. People didn't usually notice, but Sirius liked almost everyone. It was one of his virtues. How he could find something to like in everyone.
"We have a new moon tonight," she said. "If I were to attack Hogwarts, I would want to come during the full moon, when Professor Lupin is unavailable and I would have better light to traverse the forest."
Luna had a surprisingly good mind for this kind of thing, not strategy exactly, but fighting and winning wars. Sometimes she stood there and it felt like she could see some truth that was so big and sharp and undesired that common eyes went over it without noticing it. Like how she used to look at Dumbledore as if he were a funny performer, and how she looked at Professor Moody, actually Barty Crouch Jr., and inexplicably said he was just like Gilderoy Lockhart.
"The darkness won't be a problem for us," she went on, "because we know the grounds and the castle better. Really, this came at a very good time."
She was just a few steps away from Ernie's body. She was petting two thestrals now, calm and gentle, and that alone said that she had every right to be there with them. It might be why Severus had only told her to stay away once. By now it was like him wishing her a good morning.
"I hope you're right," whispered Sirius, still looking at the sky.
Even through the canopy of thorns and branches that looked like spikes, the sight of the sky was preferable to that of the blackened corpse on the ground. Even now they weren't completely sure that it was Ernie McMillan. They knew it probably wasn't Philip because he was bigger and had wavy hair, whereas the little hair they could see here was straight and probably blonde. Hard to tell with all the blood and soot. Even with Hagrid's lamp and all their wands casting Lumos combined, the body was so deformed that it was impossible to tell for sure who it was. A quick count of hands and feet had been necessary to ascertain that it was a human and not a tragic centaur miscarriage. They were all a bit surprised by how well they were keeping their stomachs. Returning to the castle with the body was a hard and gross task. To their horror, they discovered that simply levitating the body wasn't enough, as a significant amount of chunks remained on the grass and had to be levitated by someone else. Sirius gave them a lengthy explanation on the way back about the special interaction of charms with fluids. It was very interesting, except for the particular fluids he was levitating at the moment, but he didn't drop any of them. There was more. Someone was still missing, and there was the very real possibility that their defenses had been breached and an attack was imminent. But they couldn't think too much about it, not yet, because at the same time they had the body of a student and they had to do something about it, something respectful. Death, however, doesn't allow for much respect. Death transforms a person into a heavy, unyielding load with awful odors. Death requires, no, it demands a quick disposal that is complicated by emotions and the necessity of a ritual. They didn't want to bury Ernie at Hogwarts. It seemed like a very high honor for such an undeserving boy. It also felt wrong to voice their objections. One shouldn't speak ill of the dead and all that. More practically, they should be done with it as soon as possible and prepare for whatever came next. Just when they were coming out of the forest, Hagrid coughed, blew his nose, and said with a heavy voice that he would deal with it, which was enough for everyone to agree. It wouldn't be a significantly special place, not like the one where Dumbledore rested. Just a neutral spot to bury the body, respectful but with no distinction of privilege, right on the edge of one of the Thestral's favorite grazing grounds. Severus nodded at Hagrid and said nothing. He had been quiet all the way back from the far edge of the forest. Maybe that was why Sirius had been speaking so much. Remus remembered he used to be extra talkative after the full moons to cover up if Remus was particularly quiet. "What time is it?" Severus asked.
"Past 7," answered Luna.
He nodded. "Grab a bite and go to bed. And when people pester you with questions, you tell them that I said that everyone needed to rest." That was an order. They needed their rest. End of chapter 19. For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 and Tumblr pages of Endrina. First pass editing by Ohana. Music by Sean Johnson. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information found on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. There you can also find all the other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.